Three. First, painful stages of birth pangs. The first stage of gathering, coming together, is simple, easy. The second stage, that of testing. Testing those gathered to find out if they are willing to support the scriptural and traditional work of a church gathered. The third phase, you have heard about all during the past summer, the constant call of those people gathered as church to minister to each other and beyond, the constant call to serve. Now, of course, in real life, we do not go from one stage to another and leave behind the previous stages. The stages in becoming church are not sequential. Rather, they all continue to operate simultaneously. Now, what do I mean by that? More and more people continue to gather, stage one, and more ideas continue to surface about what we can and should do as church to bring about the kingdom of Christ in our midst, not only to be nourished here in the sacred mysteries and weekends, but how those mysteries transform our lives all during the week. And that leads to the second ongoing stage, the constant need to support our gathering to see if you are willing to support a new parish with all of its internal and external needs. Now, right now, we are at a stage of transition. Parishes today are no longer being seen as one big community where everyone knows everyone else. That is impossible. The parish today is seen as a network of smaller communities which work together among themselves for a common goal as one community. Now, this does mean that we have arrived today at a catch-22 predicament. As more families become members of the parish, we have more people to take care of because they all bring us their needs, which is good. As pastor, I become, in the contemporary church, what is called the animator, the facilitator, the energizer, particularly through the Sunday Eucharist. On the other hand, I am no longer able personally to be present at every meeting or event or social function in the parish. It has literally become impossible to do that as much as I would like to do so. Now, I have been on the Personnel Commission for the Archdiocese for the last 3 years. And not only in this diocese, but throughout the world, a pattern of the future is becoming clear. With the diminishing number of clergy, soon each priest will take care of two or three parishes, and the people will become more and more responsible in the various ministries of each parish that they belong to. Now, there are various ways of taking care of the vocation shortage, but that's another question. The reason why we spent all summer speaking about a better understanding of church ministry, of service to each other and beyond, was particularly that. The days are gone forever where you depend upon the pastor or the associate pastor for all of your needs. You begin gradually to depend upon each other. And it is so gratifying already to see this beginning to happen. The potential that you people possess is enormous, and all that we need to do is activate it, unleash it, and then channel it creatively. We are all in this together as a faith community. Now, last week we reflected on women's liberation and equality. Women are equal to men, we said. I think it was really an unconscious prompting of the Spirit to speak out candidly about that sensitive subject the week before Stewardship Sunday today, because so many of our lovely, liberated ladies have so much talent to offer, quite often more than men do. And as a matter of fact, the marvelous thing is many of them today also control the purse strings. And so I think that potential should also be channeled creatively. As you see, we are in a period of transition. So far, we've been leading a hand-to-mouth existence. We're getting by just by the skin of our teeth. We have only a skeleton crew to meet all of your needs. We're only renters here. Nothing around us here that you see belongs to us as a parish. It's also deceptive because it's also lovely, but it is not ours. I think sometimes we take a lot for granted. All that we have is a $100,000 debt. That's all. And that's from the land purchase that the Archbishop insisted upon and the house. Now, what I've done from the very beginning of the last 3 years here is to use the approach of Holy Scripture, God's Word, to impress upon all of us that the offertory collection is a prayerful, sacrificial action, an integral part of our worship. It represents us. And if the Word of God that precedes the sacred action of giving does not open up our hearts to some kind of generous response, then something is wrong. If all that you do is come to receive and not to give of your substance or your leftovers. Now, the collection is never announced, which is a kind of a mystery. It could seem that it is irreverent to ask for money during Mass, as if money were not holy. But money is holy. And it could be that the pastor is too embarrassed to speak about it. But I'm not. I've nothing to lose. We have nothing anyway. However, what I do speak of as pastor is in the context, as Jesus did, of almsgiving, stewardship, tithing, prayerful action. The actual collection of your gifts is an action of prayer. It is a sacred act of worship. Now, the irony is that this low profile that our collection of money at Mass enjoys is really in direct contrast to the very high profile that money has come to receive in the lives of our people who attend our celebrations. Modern families today, and this includes you, seem to be preoccupied with the scramble toward upward mobility, increased salaries, two-income households, more possessions. All this is good, but it does cause some tensions. It's one of the impacts of modern living. Now, preaching the Word of God, as I do here, does provide me with an opportunity to evangelize, to catechize about the holy value that money can have in our lives because it enables us to provide comfort and food for the uncomfortable and the hungry. That is what we do here. We nourish the hungry in spirit. That is a much deeper hunger than just hunger of the body. There is so much hunger and thirst for the life of the Spirit in this community. And there's so much pain here among our people. And that is why, after analyzing the last 3 years, I've discovered why they have been so very, very painful for me. As Damien the leper said to his people, "I am one of you, and I have learned to share your pain." As I have become more and more aware of how many people here have been hurt in the past by church structure and legalism, I have been filled with more and more pain to see so many people alienated by the rigidity of old church structures. But to discover so many people here still carrying the baggage of guilt with them from the days of the past. Painful for me because I have become so deeply aware of the intense need that so many people here need for healing, reconciliation with the Lord. This is so because for the last 40 years or longer, I have been fortunate enough always to be attached to a church or a faith community that has taught me the potential of the healing, strength, and liberation that faith and church are able to offer to a community, so that all the people within it, little by little, begin to share the vision of what it really means to have that mystery that we call the living God actively present in our lives. So that once we people here learn how to leave the slavery of Egypt behind and cross through the desert to the promised land, we'll begin to understand that I do know how to get there because I have been there before. Between now and then, we will walk the dark valley together. Even though for a while we need to crawl or hobbled by lack of resources, we together will create a church that will be vibrant with the Spirit, in which indeed death will lead to resurrection and new life, because that is why we have gathered. That is the first stage, but the second is always concomitant. We must learn how to give on a consistent level throughout the year, so that we as a parish are able to have some kind of dependable outreach and service. We do not bring half-eaten casseroles to a potluck dinner or the last slice of cake to a bake sale. We always plan the full dish, a whole loaf. And that is why a contribution made just from the leftovers of your wallet or purse is never a tithe, not if it's just measured by a few leftover dollar bills that you happen to put into the basket as an afterthought. Today, families try to live by a budget. And you might budget a few dollars for restaurant tips for Sunday brunch. But just a few dollars is not adequate for the Sunday last supper service if we consider the work that must be done. We still hold to our parish guideline of a 5% stewardship tithe advocated to all the parishes of this diocese. Remember that you are able to attend any church you wish to attend.